This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello and welcome to Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's episode, we've got a special interview for everyone. We are joined by Angel City defender, star of the new HBO docuseries. We'll find out. We're joined by Allie Riley. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you. Excited to talk to you.
We're excited to have you. And we want to let everyone know to go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube so that they never miss out whenever we have interviews like this and whenever we go live. Allie, this is your first time that we've had you on the show. So let's just start with that. Welcome. And week 7 coming up, and then in NWSL season is in full swing. How are you? How are things going for Angel City?
I can't believe it's week 7. You wait so long for the season to come, and then it goes so fast. So I think we're buzzing right now after our first home win, and it saw us take a pretty large leap up the table, which is really, really relieving. But no, I think it's been coming. The results, I think you've seen with our performances, it's been getting better and better. And then to have the win at home, ANHPI Heritage Night, it was a great success. So I was thrilled on Sunday, and we have a huge game at home again coming up. So the NWSL feels like, now with Challenge Cup being interspersed during the season, it's like we've got games coming thick and fast, but I'm happy with where the team is, and I think everyone's feeling good.
Allie, you just talked about it. ANHPI Heritage Night with Angel City. Talk to us about that. Kind of, what did that night encompass for you, and why does it mean so much specifically for you?
Well, I love, first of all, just how intentional the club is with these activations, with these nights. And last year also, I was blown away. And this year, I think having a little bit more time for the club and all the amazing staff involved to actually prepare and get feedback and input from players. I think that's really important too, because they, of course, it's a celebration of our communities and of the supporters of the fans, but they want to make sure that the players ourselves who identify with different heritages really feel represented. And I was blown away meeting Chloe Kim and talking with her after the game about ANHPI athletes. I mean, I was so starstruck. And then we had these similar opinions and feelings and experiences, and just felt so optimistic for the future with young people being able to see role models and having especially women who look like them to just open their minds and allow them to dream bigger than we ever could. I'm sure for snowboarding and even in soccer, you know, we haven't had that much representation. So it was awesome. And then of course, on the game day, there's all these really cool things, festivities going on that we're not able to partake in. But afterwards, just being able to look at our social channels, see the celebration, the joy. And I know with Juneteenth coming up and with Pride, we as players really want to make sure that these evenings, these months are about joy and celebrating and sharing stories. I think we face a lot of challenges and adversity So for us, when we are going to be highlighted, it's really about a celebration. And I definitely felt that the win helped, of course.
good energy, good vibes. Yeah,
honestly. Yeah. And talking about even how you said how the difference from last year to this year and shifting back to what's happening on the pitch now, because as we opened this with week 7, nearly a third of the way through Angel City's second ever season in existence in the NWSL. And Allie, when you think back to the first ever game until now and week 7, how has the club grown in the last year and a half?
It's tricky because when you think of our home opener, the first ever game, it was wildly successful, but our season didn't look like that when you look at the whole thing. So I do think that last year we struggled to, of course, we had these devastating injuries, season-ending injuries. We had unforeseen circumstances with the logistics, our training field, and things that come with an expansion team. And this year, I think just having this mindset of this is year two, progress, progress, progress. And I think you see that without us having won very many games in this first third of the season, I just think that every game, bar maybe San Diego, where I think we did play well, but got punished by those two goals. And I mean, even Casey Stoney said, you know, they of course you make your own luck, but they used it in that game. I do think we have just been tracking with our performances. Would I prefer that we had more points? Of course. But if I compare it to last season when we kind of looked like we were getting somewhere and then we kind of backtracked a little bit, or we just didn't really figure out exactly how we wanted to play, who we were. Of course, we were working on it the whole season, but it didn't click necessarily at any point where you suddenly, if you were watching, were like, this is how they play. This is what they want to do. This is how they defend. And this year, I think we're definitely finding that. And as a defender, not conceding goals and having this fortress mentality has been a priority, but we have conceded a large number of goals, but we're scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah.
And it just feels like we're so close from putting together that really, I won't say perfect, but a really, really good performance where we're like, we really did everything in our control to make sure we got that win. It felt like we were going to have that last weekend. And then we really dropped off. I think the fatigue really showed. So we're always thinking about what we can do to be better, but I think we're in a much better place than we were at this point in the season a year ago.
Speaking of maybe goal scoring and new things that are contributing to the team in terms of looking a little bit different this year in year two versus year one, number one draft pick Alyssa Thompson kind of leading the team in goal scored this year, really making a statement, making an early case maybe for rookie of the year. Okay.
I found this on the web for this year, really making.
Sorry, I don't know what that was.
Wasn't, hey, we'll just keep moving.
Yeah, keep going.
No, you're good. For Alyssa Thompson, this is, again, so much has been made about being a high schooler, 18-year-old teenager, kind of busting onto the scene here in NWSL. You're someone that has to go up against her in training every single day. What have you seen from her as a young player on the field?
I just think we forget that she's so young because she fits in so well. She's so professional. She is playing at the highest level. She's scoring goals. She's incredible. And I think she is getting more and more comfortable in terms of traveling and getting to know us. It's a big shift, you know. Then she's going to high school. She has homework to do. So I think the longer the season goes, the more and more probably she'll feel just part of the team in terms of the social side of it. But if we're talking about the soccer, I mean, she's, as you said, she's leading the way and she's always so receptive to feedback. How can I get better? And I'm saying to her, like, no, like, take players on, tell us if you're on and we're not playing you the ball, you know, take space. She's one of us, you know? So I think it's just been such a pleasure to get to know her and her family. And she has such a bright and long future. I really, really hope she makes this World Cup team because I think she can I mean, I'm glad she wouldn't be in my group, because I think she's so hard to defend in training. You know, it's once she gets that speed up, it's impossible to catch her. You see it. And teams, we're like, oh, teams are going to scout her. And you can't stop her because she's just that fast. And I think she manipulates the ball that well. She can clearly score from pretty much any angle. But I think one of the key parts to what I believe will be our success this season is that we have Alyssa, but we also have Katie Johnson. We also have June Endo, Claire Emsley. We have Scarlett able to come in, and she's competing for that starting spot. Savannah McCaskill. Like, we have depth. We have Mac Pluck, who's, you know, just finished her school. She's in the mix. So I think that kind of depth is something we also didn't have last year, of course, with injuries. But we also have Sydney LaRue coming back, returning to play, Kristen Press. So I just think that no one in the league has seen us at our best yet. And that's not just the players who are healthy now making improvements. It's we've got these amazing players who are just chomping at the bit to come back. And, you know, I think watching Sid train right now individually, she is going to be so good when she comes back, and she's so hungry sitting out for her. Of all of us hate injuries, but for her, it's been really tough. So she's so excited. I think she's going to have a great season this year.
You make such a great point. I mean, listing off the incredible talent that Angel City has on their roster. And we started this little convo about the team in looking at Alyssa Thompson specifically. And you said the first thing, we forget how young she is. She is still in high school. And yeah. Allie, I know you and her share a high school. You went to the same high school, Harvard Westlake in Los Angeles. And I heard that recently you returned to high school. You sat in on English class. Tell us about this. What happened? How did you get roped in to going back to school with Alyssa Thompson?
I went to high school yesterday, and you know what? I think I fit right in. Alyssa only said I was embarrassing her one time. I made friends. You know, I've been invited to hang out again. The class, things are so different than what I remember from high school, but it was so cool to see her in her element and see her with her peers. And I think her friends are so excited for her. The school is so proud of her, and that's how we feel. But to sit there and she gave a presentation, and I was, you know, in the class, and then I got to ask some discussion questions and discuss social media and artificial intelligence. And I was on cloud nine. I didn't appreciate any of this. Of course, we weren't talking about AI and social media when I was in high school, right. But I didn't appreciate being in school, you know, until of course you don't have to be in school anymore. So it was very surreal to be back there, be in the cafeteria. But I just think it's fun. You know, Alyssa has come into this world that I've been a part of since I was, you know, since about 2010. And then for me to be able to kind of join her in her world, carpool to school, meet her friends, and everyone's getting ready for prom and graduation and wearing their college sweatshirts. It was so cool. It made me feel very young and just very grateful for her friendship, and also just to look back at like where I've come and how long ago that was. And yeah, it gave me a lot of perspective, and perspective is always very healthy.
A little blast from the past, right? Returning to the halls.
A big blast from the past.
Talking about AI now. Jeez.
Yeah. I didn't know everyone was using it to do their homework.
Oh.
Exposing them, putting them on blast.
These kids are smart. They're too smart for us.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
But something else we wanted to chat with you about, Allie, while we've got some time with you, is HBO's in the process of dropping a docuseries about Angel City. And, you know, we've gotten a sneak peek at the docuseries. We're also excited about it because in our sneak peek, we saw that Attacking Third actually makes an appearance or two within it. But a lot of it is storytelling around Angel City and that inaugural season and really the build up to bring a team to Los Angeles. So just wanted to get your perspective as one of those inaugural players, a player now in year two with this club. What was it like kind of having this crew or this docuseries kind of follow players around in that first season?
It's always a little bit uncomfortable at first, you know, and it's hard to be completely natural, I think, and not worry too much about what I'm saying or what other people are gonna see or think. But when Natalie Portman really explained to us what her goals were in making the documentary, which I do think come through very clearly from what I've seen and what I've heard, it was not to embarrass us. It wasn't to be a reality TV show. It wasn't to make anyone look like a villain. It was really to share the experiences, the story, the work, the passion that's gone into this club that has so much visibility and people are talking about. So I think it's so good to match this excitement around this club and all the work that the club is doing to then pair that with this story about how the club came to be. And I hope that it inspires other companies and clubs and federations to empower more women, to hire women in leadership positions. I hope it inspires athletes, former athletes, to get involved, stay involved in sport. You know, it's changed my outlook a lot about what I could do after I play soccer, just getting to know some of our owners, some of the 99ers, Julie Ehrman, Kara. I think it's eye-opening even for those of us who have been a part of it to really see what it took and how it could potentially be translated in other areas. And I think for me with this team in general, I think women athletes, the challenges we've had to face while still, I mean, with these incredible role models who have side hustles, who are raising families, who have come back from pregnancy, who, you know, have foundations, charities, businesses, Jazz Spencer. I mean, the list goes on and on of players who are doing incredible things. And so this documentary was another way to highlight them and give them a platform and show people out there just what it's like for us. And specifically, of course, Angel City and the expansion team, but just in general, the more coverage, the more positive coverage and coverage with quality, like in this case, of course, with an HBO documentary that about women's sports, I just think the impact can be really far reaching, especially when you have someone like Natalie promoting it and talking about it in so many different avenues. But I think this team, this club in general, is led by so many amazing women. So for them to get this Hollywood treatment and this experience, this exposure, with of course it being real, there are parts in it, I know that you know, your heart starts racing. You're like, what's happening here? And this is not what people want to ideally experience in any job, whether it's injury or difference of opinions or, you know, with staff members not getting along, those kind of things, trades happening. So I think it does give a real look, but that also contributes to the positivity of it. Because if it was all just everything's great to be a woman in sport, everything's great when you're an athlete, everything's great as an expansion team, that wouldn't necessarily push the ceiling in the way we want to. So I think that, and again, I haven't seen the final cut, but I think finding that balance was the priority. And from what I've heard, it was achieved.
Yeah, it's really a powerful documentary because it does follow the inception of the team and it dives a little bit into different players' stories and different backgrounds. And they do such a great job of building up the insight of what was happening within the team, outside the team, how it came to be. It's so powerful. And it's very cool because Sandra and I got to cover Angel City in its first year as attacking third and covering the league, and then to kind of rewatch it again through a bit more of a cinematic eye was very cool. So Allie, for you, in, I know you haven't seen the final cut of this yet, but it does talk about the build up to the first season and then ultimately the first season and how it all went down. And they talk a lot about the first regular season game for the club versus North Carolina. Angel City gets the win. It's at home. You mentioned that. You actually referenced this game at the very top of this episode and the top of this interview. But for you, a starter on this Angel City side, captain, you play 90 minutes. You're returning to your hometown to play. After the game, the win over North Carolina, you stand in the end of the field in front of the supporters section looking at the supporters. Take us back to that moment. What was going through your mind after that first Angel City home win looking at the supporters section?
This is one of the reasons why I'm so glad that this documentary happened, because for me, and I think players, other players, I think will identify this, when we're at the back end of our careers and we've been doing this for so long and haven't had the support, haven't had the salary, haven't had a CBA, haven't had resources, that night just felt, I felt so much hope. And I felt a lot of pride being part of the club that is doing these incredible things. But for me, I think the overwhelming feeling was really just so hopeful and being overwhelmed and also surprised, which I've talked about a lot, because it's something that someone like Alyssa or her sister or young girls watching that game. And I know Glennon and Abby referenced it, because there were girls there who, that was the first game they saw, and every game since has been incredible. And they've seen women be supported and loved and cheered on. And a woman's club that people have tattoos of the crest, you know, that's nothing that I ever could have imagined. And I think on top of that, June Endo was player of the match, and she's speaking in Japanese after the game. There's Japanese flags. They're grown ANHPI people crying in the stands because they saw someone do something incredible in a sporting environment that they hadn't been able to see a lot of when they were younger. And I think just that overwhelming feeling of positivity and love and hope, and just, again, for me, surprise, relief, I guess, that a team was finally back after 12 years. And I'd been waiting and waiting and really felt that it was never going to happen. You know, if you're like with the LA Soul, if that team with incredible players on the team, probably the most high profile team to date at that time, they couldn't make it work, you know, and then the year after that, it's never going to happen. So it was so many positive emotions, but also some of my emotions were really showed me how much of society and how people talk about women's sports and women's soccer and what I had experienced up until that point really was pretty limiting and like soul crushing, that I in that moment was like, I can't believe that 20,000 people want to watch us play soccer, when of course people are hungry to watch us and people support women and it's a good investment and the club is doing so well, all these things. But yeah, it was just, I felt so many amazing emotions in that time that really gave me again, this perspective about what my career has been like this far. And then that I want to keep this going for the future generations, that it's not just one club that has 22,000 on their opening night. Now we have San Diego that are able to break that number, but when will more clubs be having that? The new ones coming in, what will their support be like? And I really think that this club is, by sharing not only the documentary, but in general, their sponsorship model and what they've done with merchandise and with all the different pieces that go into building this business, we're really hoping that it's just gonna kick off this whole cultural change.
Yeah, like hearing you sort of recap all of this kind of like even gives me chills, because it's just like thinking about even just the long return back to California for women's pro soccer and the iterations that took place before it. And hearing you talk about your place within this picture, that you're someone that can look back and remember the struggles and the battle to sort of get a team back into the California area. And now it sort of feels like we're watching kind of a very transformational time, not just for the league, but maybe in this case, women's pro soccer within just the state of California. So while it's Angel City, the Wave, I mean, they just made the announcement for the Bay Area. There's even more pro teams that are coming into this. I feel your energy, and it's easy to get emotional about, I think, yeah, because of what you knew kind of came before then, right? And I think having this docuseries, that's so important to have, because it's like this little kind of tangible historical document that you can kind of look at and point at and see. So while you're in this position right now, maybe Alyssa Thompson is in a similar position in year 21 versus you in year 11 of NWSL, kind of talking about these things, and probably to somebody else, maybe not to me or Lisa, but someone else who's like in the same position to talk about this. But this has been a wonderful conversation, and we don't want to keep you too much longer because we know you are busy and have things to do. But in terms of that next step and what you want to see come next, not just for Angel City, but even in the league as a whole, what would you like to see moving forward?
I think this first CBA has been such an important step. Obviously, it took way too long to get a players association and to have a CBA. But I think that the players, I mean, we're able to talk so positively about the changes in the league, but it was just a season and a half ago that we were about to strike, and, you know, and games were coming together to really make a stand as players because players were being abused. So I think I want to keep this momentum going, keep the perspective of now anyone, of course, there's the struggle, like you mentioned, of those of us who have been around for a very long time, but anyone who's been in the league for two seasons now was part of what was going on in 2021 in terms of the players taking a stand. And I've just seen now the power of the collective. And so what I want for this league and for the players in the league to not underestimate how powerful we are when we come together. And I think the commissioner is very aware of that, is open-minded, is making positive changes. But I feel like if for some reason we weren't to keep making progress, the players are so empowered and really are in a position to hold the league accountable, to hold their owners accountable, to hold sponsors accountable, coaches. And so I just hope that as the league keeps growing, that there is that power of the collective is there to continue to make sure that there is progress. We're going to look at, you know, free agency, then the restricted free agency, and it's just going to change things. And it's easy when there are more teams, I think, for some things to get lost. And I think for people to be so positive about the growth of the game that you maybe stop having that drive to like, no, we got to make sure the top end is getting higher, but also everyone at the bottom is also being lifted up. And I think what I also hope for is the NWSL that is doing these important changes, that there's a kind of global effect that we're able to take our learnings. And I, you know, I've spoken to Megan Burke about this, to make sure that with respecting other leagues and the college system have their own. So, well, I don't, not the college system, but other leagues have their own associations and federations. But the more we can work together to help each other, because what's happened in this league is not isolated. We know what's going on in the college game. We know what's going on in other leagues. And so it's like, how can we, this collective we formed in the NWSL, how can we really embrace the women in other leagues, even other sports? Because when we put our minds together, I think we're unstoppable. And I think with the help of social media and media, when you're talking to the right people, those messages get heard. So that's where I just hope we can keep pushing, and everyone believes that we can keep pushing because we have that power together.
I love that. Solidarity, progress, global impact. That's a, that's, think, we have to end it there. That's a mic drop from you, Ellie. I want to thank you for joining us on a Tacky Third. We always thank our audience for listening along to these interviews. So shout out to everybody who's joining us along the way. You can watch Angel City, the HBO docuseries, on May 16th on HBO and HBO Max. You can catch Ellie in action every weekend with Angel City. So be sure to download, follow, and subscribe to Attacking Third so that you never miss out on an episode. For Ellie, Lisa, and myself, this was Attacking Third.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.